1912. December 26, 1912. A Visit to Loma Linda. By W.C. White. Ellen G. White. From November 6th to December 6th, we were in Southern California, most of the time at Loma Linda. Mother and sister Misenterfer spent the entire time of our visit there. Brother Chrysler and I spent a few days in Los Angeles and Glendale, and I was at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium Thanksgiving Day. At Glendale, we found the sanitarium full of patients. In the large main building and hospital, there was but one vacant room. The outlook for this institution is very encouraging. At Paradise Valley, very important additions have been made to the buildings. The nurses' dormitory has been enlarged. The business office and ladies' treatment rooms have also been enlarged and an elevator installed. Thus, this institution is well prepared for the large patronage that usually comes after the holidays. At Loma Linda, our people were very busy and of good courage. The Loma Linda Sanitarium had a splendid patronage during October. In November, there were not many patients, but busy preparations were being made for the rush that usually comes in the latter part of the winter. In the medical school, there were 62 students, and about the same number in the nurses' training classes. Dr. Rubel said, "The students returned this year with a strong determination to make this school better than it has ever been before. In our faculty, there is unity and courage." The day after our arrival there, Mother spoke about 20 minutes to the board of directors, the college faculty, and the heads of departments. A portion of this talk, under the title "Be of Good Cheer," will be found in another column. After that, Mother spoke one Sabbath in the Loma Linda Chapel, one Sabbath in the meeting house in San Bernardino, and one noon she read to the students and helpers a manuscript regarding the duties and privileges of medical students. Here are a few statements copied from this manuscript. Opportunities are before you. If studious and upright, you may obtain an education of the highest value. Make the most of your privileges. Be not satisfied with ordinary attainments. Seek to qualify yourselves to fill positions of trust in connection with the Lord's work in the earth. United with the God of wisdom and power, you may become intellectually strong and increasingly capable as soul winners. You may become men and women of responsibility and influence if, by the power of your will, coupled with divine strength, you earnestly engage in the work of securing a proper training. God will not require of man a more strict account of anything than of the way in which he has occupied his time. Have its hours been wasted and abused? God has granted to us the precious boon of life, not to be devoted to selfish gratification. Our work is too solemn, our time to serve God and our fellow men too short to be spent in seeking for fame. Oh, if men would stop in their aspirations where God has set the bounds, what different service would the Lord receive? The light that God has given in medical missionary lines will not cause his people to be regarded as inferior in scientific medical knowledge, but will fit them to stand upon the highest eminence. God would have them stand as a wise and an understanding people because of his presence with them. In the strength of him who is the source of all wisdom, all grace, defects and ignorance may be overcome. December 26, 1912. Be of Good Cheer. Ellen G. White. Talk by Mrs. E. G. White at the time of the board meeting of the College of Medical Evangelists, Loma Linda, California, November 9, 1912. I feel very thankful that it is our privilege to believe in God and to walk carefully in accordance with the instruction he has given us in his word. If we do this, our hearts will respond to the impressions of the Spirit of God, and we shall follow on to know the Lord, whose going forth is prepared as the morning.
And let us always remember that just as his going forth is prepared as the morning, so we are to expect the revelations of his grace as we advance. But if we keep silent, if we do not feel the importance of moving in harmony with his will, we shall not have his blessing attending us. We cannot afford, brethren and sisters, to be without his help and guidance. We need to be in a position where we can talk with God. We are to commune with him. He who is our sanctification, our righteousness, has given us the privilege of being in a position where we may have a continually increasing faith. We must ever live by faith and follow on to know the Lord.
God's promises to us are so rich, so full, that we need never hesitate or doubt. We need never waver or backslide. In view of the encouragements that are found all through the Word of God, we have no right to be gloomy or despondent. We may have weakness of body, but the compassionate Savior says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Will you believe these assurances? Will you say, "Yes, Lord, I take thee at thy word. I will begin where I am to talk an increase of faith. I will take hold of the promises. They are for me." Oh, brethren and sisters, what we want is a living, striving, growing faith in the promises of God, which are indeed for you and for me. Many, many times I have been instructed by the Lord to speak words of courage to his people. We are to put our trust in God and believe in him and act in accordance with his will. We must ever remain in a position where we can praise the Lord and magnify his name. Then we shall see light in his word and follow on to know him whose going forth is prepared as the morning. At times we shall be in great perplexity and not know just what to do. But at such times it is our privilege to take our Bibles and read the messages he has given us, and then get down on our knees and ask him to help us. Over and over again, he has given evidence that he is a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. He fulfills his promises in far greater measure than we expect to receive help. Wherever we are under obligation, as disciples of our Lord and Master, to anchor our faith in the promises of God. Individually, we are to believe. We are not to cast about for a possible doubt, or imagine that sometime we may have to stand beneath the shadow of a cloud that seems to be gathering. We are chosen of God to be his children. We have been bought with an infinite price, and we have no occasion for placing the suggestions of the enemy before the assurances of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord desires us to act sensibly. We shall have trials. We need never expect anything else, for the time has not yet come when Satan is to be bound. Wherever we may be, we shall continue to have trials. But if we give up to the suggestions of the enemy, we lose the battle. Can we afford to yield to the arch-deceiver? Oh, no! We are to turn for help and deliverance to him who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even the hope of an eternal inheritance reserved for those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation.